He runs up to the bathroom, taking the stairs three at a time. He has to force himself to be patient as he watches the water rise, adding only the tiniest drop of redox as he doesn't want to irritate Merlin's wounds. He knocks the electric shaver into the water in his haste and fishes it out, swearing. Then, before he knows what he's doing, he's hurled it against the wall, where it splinters into little pieces. He has to take several deep breaths after that. Anger will not help Merlin right now. Once he's calmed a little, he gets his medical supply kit out and takes it into the bedroom, laying a clean towel over the bed. When the bath is full, and he's checked that the temperature is to his exact satisfaction, he races back down to the basement. Merlin's eyes are closed, and for one heart-stopping moment, Arthur thinks he might have died. Just like that. And all because Arthur left him alone. But when he thuds over, Merlin's eyes flicker again, and Arthur exhales in relief. He lifts him up incredibly carefully, trying his best not to touch anything painful, though it seems like an impossible task. He holds him bridal-style, resting Merlin's head against his shoulder, trying to keep him as close to his body as possible. The journey up to the bathroom is frustratingly slow. Arthur has to be so careful not to bang Merlin against anything, not to trip and drop him. When they make it to the bathroom, he props Merlin up on the floor as best he can.
"Merlin, I've run a bath for you. Is that all right?"
Merlin gives a sort of half nod as best as he seems able.
"Can I undress you?"
Arthur asks, very gentle. He needs to do this because Merlin's in no state to do it for himself, but at the same time he knows he can't if Merlin refuses. It would be too much of a violation, especially after what he'd already suffered today. There's an agonizing pause. Merlin nods again. Arthur smiles in what he hopes is a reassuring way.
Okay, I'm just gonna..."
He inches over to Merlin and looks at a t-shirt. Given the state of Merlin's hand, forcing him to lift his arms would be agony. He decides to rip it instead. He takes hold of it at the collar and is grateful for the cheap purchase he made when it tears easily in two. He rips the sleeves as well and then eases it off Merlin's body. He's as careful as he can be, but Merlin still winces in pain. The last bruises Val inflicted on Merlin's torso are still faintly visible, but Arthur's disgusted to see they're almost overwhelmed by new, more vivid marks. He feels along Merlin's ribs, miserably aware how recent the last time was he had to do this, and concludes that at least two are probably broken.
"Bad?"
Merlin suddenly croaks out, and Arthur almost jumps out of his skin.
"Not too bad," he says, wanting to reassure him, but also not wanting to lie. "I can tape them up if you like. They should heal fine."
Merlin seems to accept this, and Arthur remembers that he's had broken ribs before. It helps a bit, remembering that. Merlin's not as fragile as he looks right now. He's overcome attacks like this before, and Arthur hopes he'll be able to do it again. The next part is more awkward.
"Right, I'll just..."
He reaches towards Merlin's waist slowly, so as not to startle him. Merlin meets his eyes for a second before giving him another weak nod, which Arthur knows is as much permission as he can expect. Not wanting to make a production out of it, Arthur tucks down Merlin's jogging bottoms as quickly as he can, while also being mindful of his injuries. Fortunately, there's not much to see on his legs, save a bleeding scrape on his left ankle. There's also no blood trickling down his legs or staining the seat of his boxers. Arthur didn't think Val and Senred would have gone that far, but after what Merlin had told him about Senred, the relief he feels is sudden and immediate. It gives him the strength to take the last step, removing his boxer briefs. He averts his eyes as much as he can as he eases them down Merlin's legs and tosses them aside. He catches a glimpse of a blackening bruise on the side of Merlin's hip, though, and he has to bite back a hiss of anger. There'll be time for anger later. He can't quite meet Merlin's eyes, but from the stolen glances at his face, Merlin doesn't look embarrassed. Arthur guesses that Merlin's gone beyond embarrassment, that the pain is overriding all other emotions. It makes it easier for Arthur in the moment, but he hopes that Merlin doesn't hate him later.
As gently as before, he picks Merlin up again and slowly lowers him into the bath. He sits Merlin up against the side, hand hovering in case Merlin suddenly slides under the water.
Temperature okay?
Merlin nods.
Okay, I'm gonna use the flannel if that's all right. Tell me if something hurts too much and I'll stop.
He cleans the cut on Merlin's hairline first, dabbing away at the partially dried blood until he can see the thin slash better. It's not big enough to need stitches, thank God. Arthur would have attempted them, but it would have been a messy job. Supporting Merlin's head, he brings it forward slightly to feel around the back for any bumps. There doesn't seem to be any, although he resolves to keep an eye on Merlin for concussion anyway. He moves on to the rest, carefully swiping the flannel across the cuts that litter Merlin's body. Merlin's let his mangled hand slide under the water, but he's still holding it stiff against his chest. Arthur thinks there's not much he can do for it until he takes him into the other room to fix him up. The bathwater is clear enough that he can see the whole of Merlin's body, but it oddly becomes less awkward the more he washes him. It's not a sexual situation. He's caring for someone who needs it, and Merlin's nakedness makes him feel oddly protective. He decides to wash Merlin's hair while he's in there, because chances are Merlin will be too sore to shower again for a few days. He finds a little plastic jug in the cupboard under the sink and holds it up.
"Can I wash your hair?"
he asks softly, not sure why he's lowering his voice. "Yeah," Merlin says, equally as soft. Arthur dips the jug into the water and pours it onto Merlin's head. Then he grabs the grapefruit shampoo and begins to slowly massage it in, taking care to avoid the hairline cut. It feels strangely intimate to be shampooing someone else's hair this way. He's never done anything remotely like it before. Somewhere in the midst of this, he decides to speak.
"I didn't know they were coming. If I'd have been here, I never would have let them."
He rinses Merlin's hair clean, trickling the water over him so as not to overwhelm him.
"You have no reason to believe me, but I never would have let them, Merlin, and I'm sorry."
There's a prolonged silence.
"They had keys,"
Merlin whispers finally.
"From my father,"
Arthur says, nearly tripping over his words in a rush to explain.
"He set it all up. He didn't tell me until it was too late. I drove as fast as I could, but..."
Suddenly, he is reliving the moment he ran into the cellar, the heart-stopping few seconds when all he could see was Merlin lying on the floor, and he couldn't be sure if he was alive or dead.
"I'm so sorry,"
he says, and he's choked up, stopped short by guilt and regret. This was all his fault. He'd locked Merlin up and taken away his magic. He'd left him completely defenseless against Val and Senra's attack for a second time.
"I believe you,"
Merlin says hoarsely. Arthur's hands still in the process of rinsing Merlin's hair. He looks down and Merlin meets his eyes. He doesn't look afraid of Arthur anymore. He looks like he's finally coming back to himself. Arthur could weep with relief. But he doesn't. He just keeps rinsing Merlin's hair until all the soap is gone, being as gentle as he can. An apology in every movement.